Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day to all our fathers. I know there's a big blessing waiting for you afterwards. And for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, I leave you in anticipation. So, I just want to take a moment. I like to pray before I get into our message. And Lord, I just thank you. For this day, Lord, we do pray that you would just help all of us, Lord, to be tuned in. Many times, God, we go places and we have so much on our mind, it's hard to focus in at the time and where we're at. But Lord, we're here in your presence, and we thank you, God, for our church, and we pray, God, that you would just help all of us to learn today, Lord, just of the power and the authority, God, that you've given each one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father's Day for me, a Father's Day service like this for me, means a lot. When I got saved at 15, it was about that following Father's Day. It was September 1980, but that following Father's Day in June, that I really believe I had a major breakthrough in my life. Even though I got saved and I asked the Lord into my life at 15 and really pursued God, I just fell in love with the things of God and going to church, this whole new world. It was a different thing for me. But I remember in a Father's Day service in the church that we were at in San Jose, California, that the pastor at the end of the message, our pastor stated something, and he goes, I know a lot of you have lost your fathers and you're dealing still with that issue. And he goes, it's very hard. He goes, I know I asked that you would take a moment and just allow God. And he referred to it. And I had heard it a couple times. He said, you know, how the Lord, allowing the Lord to be the father to the fatherless. And so I just was just listening to everything he was saying because, again, not having a father at that point in my life and just absorbing like a dry sponge what he was saying, Lord, I want you to be my father, and I want you to help me. And that service, I believe, helped me to have a breakthrough. To help me have a breakthrough to pursue, because I was in love with the things of God. I was involved now with the youth group, but for some reason inside of me, something that was holding me back. That service itself, I remember. Taking a moment and praying a lot over in the front of the church. And I say in this direction because I was sitting over here and I just responded and the pastor prayed and I just was there for a long time. I was sobbing and kind of like it's just release this moment and just a lot of hurt. And a lot of you know my story and all that, but just it was like that. It was like a bridge. I was letting go of all the pain and all the issues of that father experience that I had with my dad, my stepdad, to now grabbing God's hand and saying, Lord, I want you to be my father. And I believe every single one of us have to cross that bridge. We can look at the Lord, yes, as our Lord, as our Savior, as God, as the Prince of Peace, as the Almighty. We can look at that. But when that time comes, when you cross that bridge and saying, I look at you as my father. For some, it's hard to say that. For some, it's very difficult because of their experience, whether good or bad. If you had a great father experience, physical, flesh, blood, father here, your actual father, and it was a great experience, it's very hard sometimes to look at anybody else as a father. When you had a bad experience, then you don't want to look at God as or anybody as a father. I remember when we first got married, and I knew that many people referred to their in-laws as mom and dad. I didn't have a problem saying to my mother-in-law, mom. Not at all. Throughout growing up, even though my mom was, you know, did her best with us, and great mom, but I had no problem calling my friend's mom, mom, growing up. I don't. Anybody ever do that? You know, your friends are just close. You're just hanging out with them, and hey, mom, and so on. But I could never call anybody dad. But my father-in-law, my brother-in-law would refer to him as dad, and he's about our age and just a little, and I go, you know, I just can't to my father-in-law, he's a great man, I just can't call him dad or my father. So I made an agreement with him, and I told him, I have a hard time with that word. Even though I had a breakthrough when I was 16, it still dealt with me even to the point that I was 25. And I said to my father, my father-in-law, I said, can I call you Pop? I've never had a Pop. Can I just call you Pop? And so, yeah, he said, yeah, you can call me Pop. And then it was something as I just fell in love with my father-in-law. He was able to help me in some settings, in some situations where I never had that kind of figure in my life. And it wasn't long after that at all that I was able to look to my father-in-law and call him dad. And to this day, calling him dad, you know, it's not a problem whatsoever. It was another bridge I had to cross over. But when I look to God, my Father, as a father to the fatherless, a husband to the husbandless, it's powerful when you look to God as that one who I'm going to look to be there for me and be my security and be my all and be there in every way. Even if you have a great dad, to know he's not perfect. My real dad's not perfect, but my Heavenly Father is, and he can be there for me and he can help me. You know, throughout the months, I remember even starting in Christmas time, I kept putting this verse out to you, or scripture out to you, in 2 Corinthians 5, and referring to the ministry of reconciliation, that God helps us to have this gift, that God loves us so much. And I brought that out at Christmas time because of the idea that it's a gift that he gives us, the gift and the ability to reconcile, that you and I have that ability to put back together that which once was, that we don't give up. Because many times when things start unraveling, when things seem to be falling apart, it's, just want to give up. But the Lord gave us a gift. As we've been reconciled to him, he then gives us the ability to reconcile anything around us, anyone around us, a bad relationship, a bad circumstance, whatever the situation is, that we have that gift. Well, today, I want to share, yes, to honoring our fathers, and to the men of the church, but also to all of you ladies as well, another gift that the Lord gives us. It's a powerful gift. As a matter of fact, so powerful that many people don't clearly understand the significance of this gift. They don't understand the power that it contains. Sometimes God gives us things. He says, I will never give you anything you can't handle. Now, a lot of us think of that as far as the pressure of life. Oh, I'm going through something. It's too overwhelming for me. No, if you're in God's eyes and God's hands, he won't give you anything you can't handle. But on the reverse side of that, when God has something so powerful that he wants to give you and you're not ready to handle it, he's not going to give you something you can't handle. How do I get to that place that I can handle it? It's diving into his word. It's understanding who he is. It's trying to find out more about God. It's just going through life's experiences and understanding. But this gift is a powerful one. I want you to look in the book of Matthew, chapter 16. And there's a story here of Jesus with his disciples. A lot of you will remember this, but we're going to dive into something that he gives them. Verse 16:13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He looks to them. He says, "But what about you?" He asked, "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom." This is verse 19. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The reason he told them don't say anything is because the rest of the people couldn't handle it. They would not know what to do with that because they had not been educated, schooled, spent time with the Lord to have this revelation be just right in your face. Have you ever been in a scenario somehow or somewhere where someone just unloads on you a lot of stuff and you're like, whoa, I wasn't ready for that? Okay, I mean, it happens all the time, right? I mean, even just in nature itself, you're coming out of a movie theater right from the dark room into that bright parking lot. You're like, whoa, too much at one time. And here, the Lord understands that as we as humans, we're not ready to have everything just blah. And he says, don't tell anybody what I just told you. This is meant for you guys because you guys are at that level that you understand what I'm saying to you. But what did he say to them again? Verse 19. This is where we're going at. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The ability to bind. This is huge. It goes right along with the similar gift that of reconciliation. Reconciliation means you're putting back together that which once was. The ability to bind is finding anything that's loose and bringing it together. It says you have the ability to bind. And what you bind here on earth will be bound in heaven. As theologians have processed, so exactly what does that mean? Many have come to that conclusion stating that whatever you're binding here on earth has already been bound in heaven. Therefore, through a gift being from God, it goes through you and you have the ability. So that ability to bind has already been bound. It's now you have the ability to bind it here on earth. Our citizenship here isn't on this earth. Our citizenship is heaven. Because our citizenship is in heaven, we gain our energy, our strength, our ability, everything from God the Father. And so whatever we are able to do here is now because it was already done. Jesus clearly stated many times, he goes, I don't do anything without the Father's permission. I can't do anything without him already doing it first. So it isn't that we have that ability to go do some crazy stuff that's never been done before. We have the ability to bind on earth. What do we bind? There's so many things that are just seem to be so unbalanced in our life. There are things that seem to be broken in our life, some things that just seem not to be not together in our life. And every one of these we can kind of figure out and put it together and say, God, this needs to be bound. There's some things that are not going well in our life that we actually need to bind these things and remove these things. See, to bind, it's not something that you can just do on your own. In Scripture, it talks about where three strands together should not easily be broken. When you tie three strands together, maybe one piece of rope you can break, but you tie three and you braid it and you try to pull it, you're not going to be able to pull that off. There's so many different things that in our life that we can talk about what needs to be loosed and what needs to be broken. Well, what needs to be loosed in your life? I need more love in my life. I need more joy in my life. Dads, I'm talking to you right now. I need more energy. I need more strength. I need more wisdom. God, I want to loose that on earth. I want to loose that in my life. I need freedom from some of the issues that I'm dealing with. Maybe there's some habits in my life. Men, hear me. Maybe there's some things that I need just the ability of self-control to be loosed in my life. I need the ability of whatever it is, peace. You, as you speak those things, as you proclaim those things, what are you proclaiming? Things that have already been done in heaven. You proclaiming those things over it. Some say, oh, you're just preaching right now, name it and claim it. You just go and say things and it's going to happen. No, my friend, I'm talking Bible scripture here. Jesus himself said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Remember, when Jesus was on earth, what was the main topic while he was on earth? That the kingdom of God is with you. That the kingdom of God is with you here. You have the ability. And then if you go into deeper aspects of this, you have the ability to heal the sick. You have the ability to cast out demons. I mean, it goes deeper and deeper if you want to go farther and farther. But even to the simplest things, It says you have the ability to pull it together. Because sometimes it feels like, even as a Christian, like, oh, this is just falling apart on me. And it's not, my friend. It's not when you put that point in your life and you say, okay, things have to stop. Well, then bind it. Things have to be loose and go. And you say, well, is that just that easy? No. See, life is hard. There's a lot of things going on in life. For our men here, I have a bunch of things I want to kind of throw out to you to see how many of you guys can relate to. Sometimes it seems to just get unraveled and issues. Okay, so men, fathers, work with me here. Okay, so first of all, you got to be a father. Okay, and then, I got to pay my tithe. Oh, you know what? Oh, I got to be a coach. Oh my goodness, what's on my mind? Car insurance, that's due right now. Oh, winter clothes, winter's is coming up. Oh, I got yard work I got to do. I got to be a dad. I got to be I'm lending money to people that are asking for me. Oh my goodness, I got hospital bills. Okay, the car needs repair. Oh, that's right, I got to minister to people around me. Oh, the kids need sport uniforms. Oh, entertainment, I'm a husband. Mission trips, that's, we got to give that. Oh, the credit card due is due. I'm an investor. I got to invest. Everyone tells me for my retirement. Oh, I got to work and travel. I got to travel for my work and so on. I got to be that mentor. I got to be that co-worker. I got to be that brother. I got to, love offerings. The church is wanting more. Oh, work uniform. The work, my business. Oh, I'm a teacher. Do you understand where I'm going here? Okay, it's just like life insurance. I need glasses. I'm a nephew. That's right. We need food later. Building fund. I'm a boss. I'm a hero. Vacation. I'm a grandson. I'm an owner. I need dental. Pray for me. I got a dentist appointment tomorrow. Gas. Money. I need gas money. I'm a godson. Medical insurance. Volunteer. I know you're bored, but listen. Okay, here we go. Missions giving. The church wants more again. Okay, and clothing. Just dead overall. Oh, my neighbor. I'm a friend. Summer clothes. Shoes. Taxes. Mortgage. And it's like, this is too much. I know. And you're just like, this is supposed to be church, man. Inspiration, one way or another. Yeah. Well, I'm going to show you how to bind all this together. We put all this into this box, okay? And what is this box, my friend? But now you say, this is simple. Yes. Handling this all loose by itself, one after another. But I tell you, if you put every single situation of your life, you put everything, every aspect of your life in here. Loose, it's sometimes it's overwhelming, like you said. It's depressing. And I could have gone on. I just didn't have enough money for more envelopes. I mean, and we could just go on and on and on and on. And I know, ladies, you're like, oh, yeah, make a list for us, and that'll go twice as long. Diapers and children and this and that. And, we can go on and on, but here, if I bind all this, bundle it, reconcile this into one place, into God, that ability to bind is powerful. And I put it in God. And so what does that mean? Do I just kind of leave it loose and leave it open? Nope. I put it to the place where I put it in a setting where I literally, I'm going to seal this in here. I have to. Because if I leave that open, I'll have a tendency to say, okay, God, I'm giving it to you, but you're taking too long on this, and I really need an answer now. And so I take it back out of the box, and I start dealing with it on my own. There's so many scripture examples. King Saul was one. He waited on God for an answer, and he thought God was taking too long. So he put matters in his own hands, and he lost the kingdom for that, because he didn't wait on God. And yet we know in Isaiah 40:31, it says, those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. When you wait upon him, to bind everything that's going on in our life. Okay? The one main one I started with, being a father. Putting your children in the box. Being a husband. Being a neighbor, being a brother. You know, it's really weird sometimes when you have a family gathering or some kind of gathering and you are all those titles in one setting where you have your wife, your children, your mom, your mother-in-law. So you're a son-in-law, a brother, a son, a nephew. Your cousins are there, your friends are there. And it's kind of like, you know, sometimes it's like, who am I at this moment? Because in this room, I am like every one of these things at one time. And yet the Lord is very clear. He says, I'll never give you anything you can't handle. How do I handle all of this and more? How do I handle it? By binding this. And the ability to lose something, to have it loosed in my life, it's only loose because I allow it to. People have said many times, well, the devil's after me. The devil made me do it. The devil has no authority or power to do anything in your life that we don't allow him to do. He doesn't have that kind of power to come and do it. We welcomed whatever's in our life. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And sometimes, you know, in the shock of a moment, you say something, you're like, oh, where did that come from? Oh, that was deep down in you. That came out from inside you. That was there. How did it get there? Someone must have put it in there. No, we invited that in. That came in. In this scenario, he was concerned. Jesus was concerned, and he looked at them, and he wanted to know, what do you think about me? Or who do you say that I am? That's important for every one of us to look at Jesus, and he asks us that same question. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Think about that for the Lord in your life right now. Who do you say the Lord is in your life at this moment? Is he everything that you've heard about? Is he even your father? I believe that every one of us have this opportunity to see God in such a way, to understand that when I give my life to him, everything, when I surrender it all to him, that he truly has my life under control. Even though it may not seem like it. But when we focus and understand that God gives us that ability, I want us to look at this. In Numbers 32, verse 2, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. What he's saying here is that when you bind yourself to the Lord, you then have the ability to speak truth, to speak it and proclaim it, and whatever you say, it shall be done. Where two or three gather in his name and pray, it shall be done. When you agree on something, it shall be done. The ability to know that when you bind yourself to the Lord, this ability to bind is powerful. When you bind yourself to him, men, when you bind yourself with everything you got to him, you can do all things through him. Nothing can come against you. There is nothing greater than God that can come against you and tear you down and put you down and make you feel like anything less than what you are, but a warrior for him. I know it was depressing seeing the blah, blah, blah going through every one of those. But when you put it all into him to understand that there's nothing greater than my God, and if I bind myself, that means when I speak after knowing that I bound myself to God, when I speak with authority. And let my yes be yes and my no be no. I don't have to be deceiving. I don't have to be manipulative. I don't have to lie. I don't have to try to cheat. I don't have to try to do anything. Why? Because I have bound myself to God, and God is my all. God is everything. Will it be easy? No. but it's going to be powerful to see what God is going to do in your life. Proverbs 3:3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Read that again. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them. The ability to say that, God, with you, I can do this. I can be kind. Sometimes it's hard to be kind when you got knuckleheads around you all the time, whether at work or whether you're a neighbor. And you're trying to be a great neighbor. Did you notice one of those envelopes was a neighbor? How many, just raise your hand, how many of you had ever had trouble with a neighbor before? I mean, just where you were like, oh, that, you know, whatever reason. We had, when we lived in Salt Lake right here, we had our lady, I won't say her name, you might be related. You know, she lived behind us. And my kids would simply just be small kids playing on the trampoline. And she would come over, older lady. She would come, and it was surprising, she would climb the ladder. And she would go over, and she would look out. And she would just scream over them, you, and she's yelling louder than my kids are playing. You got, and she just went, oh, you know, ongoing. It was like, wow, this is crazy. This neighbor. Bind truth and kindness around you. You can. Even though it's hard, it seems like impossible, I can't do this. I mean, there are so many verses in Scripture, my friend, as far as what you can do when you start learning this principle of binding. When I operate in the gift of learning how to bind and how to loose, I just pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit over this place. You can do that. Lord, I pray peace in my home. Go into your kid's room when the game's chaotic and start anointing it with oil. And Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit in this place. At your workplace where it's all falling apart, I pray, Lord, you and your presence in this workplace. You have the authority to do that, to change the atmosphere where you're at. Jesus, in Isaiah 61:6, it says, the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. In Isaiah 61:6, Jesus, when he started his ministry, he went into the temple and he read that very verse. He said, I have the ability to bind up the brokenhearted. My friend, again, wherever you go, you have the ability to change that atmosphere so much so that you have the ability for those that are brokenhearted, for those that their spirits are down, for those that seem like they cannot go on any longer. In our prayer time, I'm saddened to hear that prayer request of praying for this mom and dad that lost their teenager. And why is that? That we have an epidemic in Utah. We have so many of our teenagers and young adults and adults that come to that place of feeling like there's no hope. You see, you and I have the answer. You and I have that ability to go into anyone's life and to say that there is hope. You have that ability because God in us gives us that ability. Men, when you walk, it's crazy. You know, again, I had thank you, Tim and Christian, for joining me yesterday in that outreach. A lot of these kids in the apartments that we work with, a lot of these kids, they just want a male figure give a positive example. Because the ones in their life, and you saw them, a lot of the guys that were men in the apartments, older brothers, you could tell, are making some bad choices. And these kids see it. But when they see someone older than them just wanting to play ball with them and sit down and talk with them and had a chance to pray with them, it's crazy how their life changes so bad. I had a kid come up to me when we were wrapping up and putting our canopies away. A little boy comes up and he says, where are you going next? I said, I got to go somewhere else right now. He goes, please take me with you. And I'm like, oh, I said, I'm sorry, I can't, but I'll be back. It's amazing. You think, well, all you're doing is giving them ice cream. Yesterday's presentation to them was full gospel presentation. And it was just crazy for these kids. Now you think, well, okay, those are inner city kids in the apartments, and, you know, yeah, that thing. But how about just our kids here in South Jordan, in Harriman, in Sandy? Our kids everywhere throughout this state. Your job, man, and my job are to be father figures, to be a reflection of God the Father. But in order to be a reflection of God the Father, we have to have that relationship with God the Father. And as we have that relationship, to the point, not just knowing Him as God, but as Father. Because when we have Him as our Father in our life, we're able to be the love of the Father to the people. Ladies, this is for you as well. Again, so that you can go wherever you can go. And the Lord will use you. You're going to hear that over and over and over from me. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You carry within you the power and the presence of God, that wherever you go, life changes around you. I believe that God wants to do some great things. Remember, we shared last week that this is the year of Jubilee. I said, men, prepare yourselves. Fathers, prepare yourselves. This is the year that God is going to do some big things in your life more than ever before. Some of the things you've been seeing throughout the years that you've been praying for, possibly this is the year of breakthrough, because it is the year of Jubilee. The year of abundance, the year of overflowing, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. That God will move in such a way like never before. I believe that. I believe He's going to do some great things. But what do I have to do? I have to learn how to bind and how to loose. And what does that really mean? Do I got to go to class? Do I got to... What that really means is understanding who He is. And then in faith, remember it says, bind up truth around your heart. Bind it around your neck. Bind it in you. The truth of who God is. And when you understand who He is, you will proclaim who He is. Have you ever had a job and you just got hired on that job? And immediately they put you on the phone saying, okay, here, go talk to somebody on the phone about it. You're like, I really don't know what to say. I know I may have shared this with you before, but I remember when I first got saved and my youth pastor, I was literally, and I just must have said this even last week, but I'll say this again, but my youth pastor was taking us to the streets, and to the streets he said, I want you to go share what you know. I go, I don't know anything. He goes, well, what did the pastor say? What did the Sunday school teacher say? What did he do for you? And I said, well, he said this, and he saved me. And he goes, what else do you know? I said, I don't know anything. He goes, well, then shut up. Don't say nothing, because then you're lying. You know, just tell them what you know. And you tap in with God and let Him flood you with what He has for you. Because what you are going to bind on earth and what you're going to loose on earth, it's already been loosed and it's already been bound. He just wants to use you to be that funnel, to be that ability to go. I'm going to ask all our men, including you, including my son. You might say, I'm not a father, including you. I want you guys to stand with me, please. Just stand, men, please. We're going to have a moment here of a special prayer. I'm doing all of our fathers. I'm doing our fathers a... My gift to you is my sermon is shorter today. All right. Our gift from the church is duct tape. Probably one of the greatest symbols of learning how to keep things together. How to bind. And so, as you, my friend, as you, and you. I know a lot of you are like, yeah. I was just about to get some. Let this be a symbol to all of you. And just as you're standing there, and you might say, well, why are you giving it to the guys that aren't fathers? Because as you tap into the Holy Spirit, you tap into God Himself, you will find out that you will reflect the Father. And even though you might say, I'm not a father, though. Yes, you are. When you reflect the Father, you have the Father's Spirit, you have the Father's heart, you have the ability to make a change wherever you're at, you have the ability to do whatever it is that God has for you. As our men are standing, I'm going to ask everyone else, Would you please? Would you please? Bow your heads and let's just pray a blessing over the men of our church here. Of course, we have many that are missing by way of vacation and time out. They weren't able to be traveling. Some possibly sick. Lord, again, we pray and continue praying for Ken. But God, we ask you, Lord, that you right now would bless the men of our church. God, that they would cross that bridge and take you on as the father of their life. And thank you, God, for the great fathers that they have had. And some, Lord, have had some difficult situations with their earthly father. But God, overall, we can all come to you. And we ask you, God, please bless them, Lord. And God, help them to understand this powerful gift they now have. That they have the keys to the kingdom. They have the ability to open that door and tap into heaven's glory and heaven's bounty and heaven's blessing. They have the ability to just bless wherever they go. And when things are bad around them, Lord, they have the ability to bind that even and remove it. They have the ability to loose your Holy Spirit, to loose whatever, God, the joy and the love. So as spouses and children and sisters and sister-in-laws and relatives and friends around our men right now, we pray special blessing over them. Help them, heal them, restore them, touch them, Lord. Help them to be the men of God you've called them to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite all of our ladies to stand as well, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. We're going to close our service with an awesome worship song. So men, use your duct tape wisely.